Hi, I'm Johnny, and you're listening to ADA Live.
Yo. Right, let's roll. Let's go.
Hi, everybody. On behalf of the Southeast ADA Center, the Burton Blatt Institute at Syracuse University, and the ADA National Network, I want to welcome you to ADA Live. I'm Barry Whaley. I'm the director here at the Southeast ADA Center. Listening audience, if you have questions about the Americans with Disabilities Act, you can use our online form anytime at adalive.org, or you can call the Southeast ADA Center at 404-541-9001. And as always, those calls are free and they're confidential. March is Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month, a month where we raise awareness about the barriers that people with developmental disabilities face in their daily lives. And it's also a time to promote acceptance of people with developmental disabilities to live their best lives. In thinking about the barriers that people with developmental disabilities face and their families, we know it can be hard to find accurate information about quality services and programs to get what you need to live independently in our community. One important resource to find that information are the state developmental disability planning councils. In the disability community, the name is often shortened to DD councils. I'm pleased today to have as our guest, Johnny Calebs. He is the executive director of the Kentucky Commonwealth Council on Developmental Disabilities. So, Johnny, thank you for joining us and being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Johnny, I want to start with, what are the Developmental Disability Planning Councils? What do they do?
DD councils are self-governing councils. They are charged with identifying the most pressing needs of people with developmental disabilities in their particular state or territory. They then conduct advocacy, systems change, and capacity building efforts. And every state and the District of Columbia and the five U.S. territories have a DD council.
Interesting.
Yes. Oh. And they are, again, self-governing, so they're intended to reflect the makeup of the disability communities in that state or territory and be directed by those council members.
So the council is a group of how many people?
It varies from state to state. In Kentucky, there are 26 members. Wow. 16 of those are supposed to be individuals with developmental disabilities or their family members and are appointed by the governor. The remaining 10 seats are representatives from state agencies, such as Department for Vocational Rehabilitation, Medicaid Services, Public Health, and the like.
How are these councils funded? Are they a government agency? You said they're self-governing, but where's the money come from?
Councils are funded by an award from Congress to Health and Human Services and the federal government. And within the Health and Human Services is the Administration for Community Living. ACL then funds individual state councils. So we get that congressional award. And then also some councils get additional funding from their state governments and potentially other sources.
So, Johnny, you mentioned this council and that some people are appointed by the governor, others are your partners. How does somebody become a member of the council?
You first have to have a developmental disability or be a family member and then complete an application governor's website from the boards and commissions that gets vetted by the governor's office. And you may or may not be appointed by the governor, but it's solely at his or her discretion. And then you serve a three-year term and can also serve a subsequent three-year term. And then the state agency representatives are appointed to the council just by their governing commissioners. They can send whoever they would like, whoever has an interest or knowledge.
So the councils, they fund various initiatives across the state. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So how do you decide what you want to fund? How do you decide the priorities for funding?
The council receives money from Congress based on a federal formula, and then the monies are used to initiate programs and projects that fulfill the mission of the DD Act. These projects are first, you have to apply for them. How do you know how to apply? Well, the council will issue a notice of funds available, basically describes the goal that we're seeking to accomplish and gives the parameters on which you can apply for your particular project. Projects should be innovative, replicable, and sustainable. They're typically funded anywhere from 2 to 5 years. So it's not intended to be a long-term, funding mechanism. The council has work teams, and each work team addresses a particular goal in the council's five-year plan. Applications that come in once funds are available get reviewed, discussed, and scored by work teams. Those projects that are selected get notified. Those that are not, and there are many good applicants, but everyone can't be funded. We send out the notifications and then get contracts in place and let the projects begin their work.
You mentioned that you've just done a couple of NOFAs recently. What were those areas of interest?
One was for housing, one was for employment, and another one was for community access.
You mentioned housing, employment. So we would find that in your five-year plan.
Yeah, there are current projects addressing those. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the projects are not meant to be long-term, but we have to let them run long enough to have a chance to succeed and develop, alternative funding sources so they're sustainable.
Right.
And hopefully can be replicated in other parts of the state if it's not already a statewide effort.
You mentioned areas like housing and employment. Looking at the aspirational goals of the ADA, those areas fall in line with the full inclusion of people with developmental disabilities in their community. Can you maybe talk about some ways that DD councils promote full inclusion for people?
One way is to fund projects with targeted goals in those areas. Another important activity that we do is advocacy. Areas of advocacy we're involved in is advocating for employment for folks with disabilities. We have a seat on Kentucky's Employment First Council. Kentucky is an employment first state, meaning that competitive integrated employment is the first choice for folks of working age have developmental disability. We also advocate for home and community-based services so that folks can live in the communities of their choice and not in institutional care. We provide training for self-advocates in that people with lived experience, people who have developmental disabilities, receive training on how to effectively advocate for services, access, inclusion, all the things that matter. We also provide education to lawmakers in the legislative branch, government officials in the executive branch. Higher education is also an area. Many folks may not think about people with developmental disabilities attending higher education at university, but we have a fantastic program at the University of Kentucky. I don't know what the acronym stands for. I just know that it's SHEP, S-H-E-P, and I can't think of what that stands for.
I can help you with that, the Supported Higher Education Project.
Thank you very much, Barry. I appreciate it. So we support, not directly, but just through collaboration, and we're all for it. I stumbled there, but we just think that's a fantastic project for the University of Kentucky to give folks with developmental disabilities an opportunity to be on campus, in classes, with their peers, hopefully leaving with a degree. We also work to ensure that folks with developmental disabilities are represented on boards, task forces, work teams, commissions, councils, any place that helps shape public policy and could possibly affect folks with disabilities, which is pretty much about anything in life, whether you're talking about employment, transportation, healthcare, education, whatever it may be.
So you mentioned a few minutes ago, and I did want to touch on this, Johnny, that you provide training for self-advocates. And I often hear a term, partners in policymaking. I didn't know, is that what you're referring to when you're talking about training? And can you tell us a little bit about that program?
It is, sure. It's called KPIP, KPIP, and that's Kentucky Partners in Policymaking. It's kind of an in-house project for us. It is a 8 or 9 month training program for folks with developmental disabilities or their close family members. And so folks gather and get training on the legislative process, how to contact their legislators, how to tell their own personal story of their lived experience, what services are available. We bring in outside speakers from around the country, sometimes in person, sometimes virtually. Other self-advocates return to deliver their experience, work experience, advocacy experience after having gone through the program. So, a rich, diverse learning model in which the participants get to take a look at advocacy from a lot of different perspectives and what it means to advocate. There's a graduation ceremony in May. Afterwards, there's kind of a post-graduation assignment. They are asked to take on a project, some type of advocacy project shortly after, to kind of use some of the skills that they've learned over the past few months. So I think it's a fantastic program. It's one of the best things that we do. And the idea is that we're over time creating a larger and larger network of self-advocates and their family members.
I believe this is a program that is replicated in each of the states. I'm sure somebody listening today in California could go to their DD council and find a similar program to participate in.
I think so. Whether it's called Partners in Policymaking or something else, I believe every state DD council has a self-advocacy training program or project.
So, here at the Southeast ADA Center, one of the things we do is we provide technical guidance on disability rights law, specifically the ADA. And we often refer people who call us if their area of concern or their question has to do with developmental disability services. We refer them to state DD councils for help with disability rights advocacy, policy issues. What are some of the projects and programs you believe have been most successful, and why do you think that?
I just explained our KPIP. Another one is a transportation initiative that the council funds that is operated by the Human Development Institute at the University of Kentucky. This project is really all things transportation, gathers information about transportation options around the state. One of the important wins recently is that through advocacy with Department for Medicaid Services, the project is able to convince Medicaid to change one of their longstanding rules on a licensed vehicle being at the place of residence for a Medicaid recipient. So that used to disqualify you from non-emergency medical transportation, which a lot of people depend on. So they're going to relax or eliminate that rule, and that's just going to make accessing transportation services through Medicaid much smoother, and will in fact renew it for some people who had been excluded because of it. That was a big win. Another one also at the Human Development Institute is supported decision-making. Council funds that project whose goal it is to make available alternatives to guardianship. If you are a person with a disability, frequently you find yourself under guardianship, whether it's private guardian or a state guardianship. And it's a big deal because if you're under full guardianship, you essentially have many or most of your civil rights taken away, your rights to make basic life decisions for yourself in many instances. And so for decision making, it's just a model, a concept which assists the person in getting people around them that they know and trust to help them make important decisions by providing all the information, pros and cons, and supporting them through the decision-making process. We also do a lot of public policy work in-house, public policy coordination, tracking bills, laws, regulations that impact or may impact people with disabilities. One of the efforts that we've honed in on here recently is the long wait list that Kentucky has, Medicaid waiver services. We've talked over the interim since the last legislative session. I don't know how many legislators that we've met with and explained the importance of Medicaid waiver services, community-based services, and how the alternative, which is institutional care, is just not the right thing to do, not the way we should be spending our money. It's much more expensive and has far worse outcomes for people. And it's just not the right thing to do. So far, the Kentucky House's budget bill has significant funding increases for waiver services in it. We hope that some of our advocacy work has made a difference in that, and we're not taking all the credit. Many others have advocated for it as well, and we're happy to see that in there, and we hope it stays in there. So we'll be continuing to advocate for that.
That's great news.
It is great news. Thrilled about it.
Johnny, thank you for this great information. And ADA Live listening audience, if you have questions about this topic or any other ADA Live topic, you can submit your questions online at adalive.org, or you can call the Southeast ADA Center at 404-541-9001. And now we'll pause for a word from this episode's sponsor, the Commonwealth Council on Developmental Disabilities.
The National Association of Councils on Developmental Disabilities, otherwise known as NACDD, works with state councils on developmental disabilities to create inclusive and welcoming communities. They work with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, their families, and allies to advocate for policy change. NACDD ensures that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities can live the life they want in the community. To learn more, visit their website at nacdd.org.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Barry Whaley, and I'm talking with Johnny Calebs, the Executive Director of the Commonwealth Council on Developmental Disabilities in Kentucky. We've been talking about how the Commonwealth Council's projects and programs, advocacy, help people with disabilities live better and participate more fully in their communities. The Kentucky Commonwealth Council is part of a larger national organization called the National Association of Councils on Developmental Disability, or NACDD. Can you tell us more about NACDD and why it was created?
The National Association of Councils on Developmental Disabilities, NACDD, it's a national membership organization specifically designed to support DD councils all across the country and the U.S. territories. And some of the activities that NACDD engages in are leadership, education, and attention on national issues and policy affecting folks with developmental disabilities. They advocate to Congress and federal government agencies on the public policy agenda that supports folks with IDD. We are not allowed to lobby, but they can. So they talk with members of Congress about continued funding for state DD councils, maintaining and hopefully increasing funding so that DD councils can do more projects in their states. Lastly, they also provide technical assistance to DD councils to make sure that we are conducting all of our activities, in line with the DD Act and in line with federal award that we get from Congress. There's a lot to keep up with, so we really rely on that technical assistance effort, and so we really appreciate that effort to keep us, all councils, educated and in compliance with what we're supposed to be doing.
Johnny, we've been talking about that you're one of many councils on developmental disabilities. Do these state and federal organizations all have the same goals? I'm curious, what are some of the shared disability policy initiatives of NACDD and the Kentucky Commonwealth Council?
They actually line up pretty well as far as the goals and initiatives. One area is civil rights and voting rights. So work is done at the national level to protect against forms of discrimination based on disability. Also, to protect, enhance, and ensure adequate funding for federal protection and advocacy programs for people with disabilities, and to fully implement laws that protect the voting rights and access of people with disabilities. Just a Kentucky fact, 72% of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Kentucky are under some form of guardianship, removing, the freedom of choice in many aspects of their lives. Talk about civil rights and voting rights, guardianship. There's just a lot of attention given to that because of what it means for folks with disabilities to have your rights taken away. So whatever we can do nationally and at the state level to protect against that and provide alternatives, also to ensure access to the polls for folks with disabilities. Another area where our goals line up is access to home and community-based services. I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Kentucky has over 12,000 people waiting for waiver services just in the two IDD waivers. So at the current rate of adding funding for waiver services, it would take almost 83 years to eliminate the waiting list.
Wow.
So that's why we have advocated so vigorously before the session started to educate lawmakers, policymakers about the wait list, what it means, the feeling of desperation that families have. And it's not just in Kentucky, it's nationally. Many states have tens of thousands. The larger states, dwarf Kentucky's waiting list. Again, very happy with current budget bill, and it's a great start. So we just have to keep at it. Right hand in hand with that is Direct Support Professional Crisis, DSP, Direct Support Professional. Those are the folks, the boots on the ground, the hands-on people who provide day-to-day care and support for people with disabilities, many times in-home services or sometimes in a provider home. But there's not enough of them. They're not paid well enough to stay. So providers and families who self-direct and hire their own staff, finding it more and more difficult to recruit, hire, and retain DSPs. It's a national crisis. It's certainly a Kentucky crisis. We have providers closing up shop because they can't hire enough people to deliver the services. That's a big deal because we're going to get increased funding for waiver services, but it's no good if you don't have anybody to provide the services. So again, much work to be done there, and that is a nationally recognized problem. Employment is another one that NACDD works on, and along with DD Council, and we support the work of the Employment First Council. One very dismal fact about Kentucky, only 33.7% of Kentuckians with disabilities are employed, compared to 76% people without disabilities. That employment gap ranks 48th in the nation. So we need to close that gap. Healthcare, the average life expectancy for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Kentucky is up to 22 years less than the U.S. population as a whole. You know, we need to do a better job of educating healthcare professionals so that we have a competent healthcare workforce, and that folks with disabilities have access to healthcare, access to insurance, equal access to get the care that they need. And then finally, one thing I'll mention again is just transportation is a problem all over, and that goes in tandem with employment. It's hard to get and keep a job if you can't get to the job. So another bad one is that 70% of people with disabilities are forced to reduce their daily travel due to a lack of transportation, from preventing them from necessary, you know, medical appointments, employment opportunities, and the social aspect of it. Can't just get over to see a friend or maybe go somewhere for, you know, recreation. Those things aren't readily available because of lack of transportation in many cases. Also a national issue, and particularly acute in some rural areas. So those are some of the ways and areas that Kentucky's DD Council does work and lines up with NACDD priorities and issues.
It sounds like, in talking about these initiatives, that they seem to align very nicely with the overall goal of the ADA, you know, for equal access, equal opportunity, financial independence, community inclusion for all people with disabilities. There's a real alignment, I think, between the work of the DD councils in fulfilling the aspirational goals of the ADA.
I agree. We've mentioned employment several times, and the fact that Kentucky is an employment first state, and we have an employment first council that's doing a lot of good work. The council funds a project through Mattingly Edge in Louisville. It's called Edge Employment. But one of the things that they do is try to promote employment with disabilities by educating individuals, families, school system, employers on disability benefits, that you can go to work and not lose your benefits. It's a common belief that I have a disability and I receive this benefit, therefore I can't work or I'll lose it, and it's important to me. Many, if not most of the times, that's just not the case. It's not as dismal and hopeless as folks make it out to be sometimes. Just demystifying disability benefits so that folks can keep those and continue to work. So that's a goal of Edge Employment. Another one, the Transportation Initiative, providing information and education on transportation options. The Housing Project, you know, seeks to bring together builders, housing coalitions, housing authorities, potential homeowners to create a pathway and provide housing that would be desirable to people without disabilities. Of course, affordability is a barrier in many instances. They're doing good work to help try to find some solutions. Just another housing fact, only 1% of Kentuckians with intellectual or developmental disabilities own their own home. Like to see that number go up, obviously. Also, our public policy coordination and keeping an eye on housing assistance. There are a couple of bills in the General Assembly right now affecting housing. Two of them would prohibit cities from passing ordinances or laws regarding discrimination on income source. Another area that we've done a lot of advocacy work in is custody rights. There's currently a bill in the House, which seeks to protect the parental rights of parents with disability. Currently in Kentucky, parental rights can be taken away based on intellectual disability. This bill would prevent that from happening, prevent the termination of parental rights based solely on disability, and would also require reasonable accommodations are afforded the parents, both on services, support services that are offered, as well as full access to the courts to make sure that any legal proceedings are fully accessible for the parents. Those are some of the projects we've been working on.
That's a lot. So it's been a lot of information, great information, Johnny, and about the work of the Commonwealth Council in Kentucky. We've talked about the national network and the important work they do. So I'm going to give you the final word. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with us?
I would just encourage everyone who's listening to the podcast today to find your voice, tell your story. If you're a DD council member, use your seat on the council to advance the causes you care about in your state. Meet with your legislators. Know how laws are made in your state. If you have an opportunity to serve on a task force, a work team, a council, a commission, whatever it is, jump in. Get a seat at the table. Cast your vote. Vote on Election Day. And also, if you want to visit our website at ccdd.ky.gov, you can sign up for our newsletter. We put out a monthly newsletter with upcoming events, news, policy issues. And then you can also follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Well, Johnny, thank you again for being with us today, sharing a lot of good information about the good work that you and the Commonwealth Council do. Listeners, I want to thank you for joining us for this episode, highlighting the work of the Commonwealth Council on Developmental Disabilities in Kentucky to improve the lives of people with developmental disabilities and their families. Thank you for joining us for this episode. And as a reminder, you can access all ADA Live episodes with archived audio, accessible transcripts and resources at our website, adalive.org. You can listen to ADA Live on the SoundCloud channel. Search soundcloud.com/ADA Live. You can download ADA Live to your mobile device. Go to your podcast app and search for ADA Live. If you have questions about the Americans with Disabilities Act, you can use our online form anytime at adalive.org, or you can contact your regional ADA center at 1-800-949-4232. Those calls are free and confidential. ADA Live is a program of the Southeast ADA Center, the Burton Blad Institute at Syracuse University, and a collaboration with the Disability Inclusive Employment Policy Rehabilitation Research and Training Center. Our producer is Celestia Rosda, with Cherie Hoffman, Mary Mortar, Marcia Schwanke, Chase Coleman, and me. I'm Barry Whaley. Our music is from Four Wheel City, the Movement for Improvement. We also invite you to tune in to our companion podcast, Disability Rights Today, for in-depth discussions on important court cases that shape disability rights in the Americans with Disabilities Act. You can learn more and listen at disabilityrightstoday.org. We'll see you next episode.